So this is the chus to take part. Good morning. Control Yom Rishon. Such a special chus. And I also welcome my Talmidim from the Beis Medrash program from at BMP that came to hear this year. Call me. Shalom Amar. Shlosha Dvarim Eilu B'Pesach. Whoever doesn't say these three simple things on Pesach, lo yotze yidei chavoso, do not fulfill his requirement. The Elohein, these are the three most important things for Pesach. Pesach, Matzah, and did you check the list? Because we're so accustomed to living every single aspect of Pesach by lists that we buy in Sfarim stores, receive in the mail, can access via the internet. And most of us are not interested in food items on Pesach. For that, there's a reliable hashgacha, or not. But non-food items, medicines, toiletries, cosmetics, is an entire sub-area of the halachos of Pesach that in the past decade and a half approximately became much more in the forefront of one's preparations for Pesach. Today we're going to discuss the halachic background of both Chumrah and Kula in this regard, and then discuss halacha l'maisa, some different approaches different kashrus organizations have this very complex, yet very basic issue. The source, which everything really is based on, source one, is a very short Gemara, Maseches Pesachim, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Source one in front of you says the Gemara, Omar Rava. Rava tells us a very basic statement. If I have bread that I'm interested in using as a paperweight, I take the bread and I char it. Charcho kodem zmano. If I char the bread prior to the time of Pesach, today I take bread and I burn it as much as it would be burnt, so it's suitable for a paperweight. Says the Gemara, mutter bahana, that is absolutely permissible to be benefited from, la'achar zmano, after Pesach comes. So, I can take a piece of bread, buy it fresh, burn it, and use that as a paperweight if I would desire, on Pesach. There's no problem with keeping chametz once it's charred. That's a Gemara, open and shut, end of Gemara, no one disagrees. In fact, the printers even put two dots after this sugya. Sugya starts here, ends here. That is the last word. Charcho kadem zmano, if you char bread, you're allowed to keep it on Pesach. Tosos clarifies an idea which is not only in Tosos, it's in the Rush, in the Ran. All the major Rishonim on the sugya explain, just keep in mind, the idea of charcho, charring something here, is a very important level in edibility. That is, if I would go to McDonald's on 181st Street here and buy a cheeseburger, there might be a problem with Marisayan walking in there, but let's say I procure a cheeseburger and I leave it on this table for a week. The room's going to smell. Kol Yom Rishon next week will definitely not be the same. But Lamaisa, if we come back next week, that would not be considered treif anymore. As long as it's no longer fit for human consumption, nifsal me'achilas adam, the average person won't eat it, that's not treif. Yet, says Tosfos, when we're talking about Pesach, it's not enough to have nifsa mechilas adam, not be fit for human consumption. Says Tosfos, the last four words on the source two, ukron shenifsal milechol lekelev. It has to be not fit even for a dog to eat. So Tosfos points out that as opposed to other areas of halacha, as long as something is not fit for human consumption, it's no longer a treif. For Pesach, it needs to be much worse. Nifsal Miachilas Kelev. Not fit for a dog to eat. It's interesting, in America, we're used to dogs that are taken care of, People have dogs in their bedrooms. People have dogs that they love. People have dogs they really take care of very beautifully. They say that they once went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and were asked him a question about walking the dog on Shabbos. To a shayla, dogs might be muktzah. So the story goes, they asked Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach if you're allowed to walk your dog on Shabbos, and he was reluctant. He was saying, well, let the dog be walked Sunday through Friday. You don't need to take such good care of the dog. And they told Rav Shlomo Zalman, no, you don't understand. In America, people actually hug their dogs, they kiss their dogs, and he started laughing. He couldn't relate to the fact that people in our culture take such good care of dogs, because dogs were classically animals that lived in the street. In fact, I never had the privilege of going on a safari, but I have friends who've told me that when they have gone on safaris, the guides bring guns, not because they're concerned of lions or tigers, but because the most vicious animals in the safari are the wild dogs. So the dogs we're talking about here, royal chilos, nisam chilos chalev, not fit for dog consumption, does not mean dogs that were completely, that are of a pedigree, poodles, and perhaps Dobermans that are going to be pets. They are dogs that are really wild, and they make do with anything they can get. Says the Gemara, says Tosus, if it's nisam chilos chalev, that dog wouldn't touch it, it's no longer a problem on Pesach. And the Magen Avraham in Source 3 explains why is it that in the rest of Halacha, something that's treif, like I mentioned with the McDonald's burger, even if it's left out for a week, as long as it's not fit for human consumption. And as far as Pesach, we need it to be much worse, not fit for dog's consumption. Says Tosfos, says the Magen Avraham in Source 3, I'll tell you why. Afal Gav, even though Divishari Surim with other prohibitions, Kol She'ena Roy Lachilas Adam Mutter, even if it's not fit for human consumption, it's already permissible, says the Gemara, Shani Chametz. Chametz is a different parsha entirely. Why? Afilu Eina Roi L'Achilas Adam, even if it's not fit for human consumption, Re'oi L'Chametz Bo Isos Acherim. It still can make other breads leavened. What does this mean? Sourdough. We discussed in Shir the other day, this is sourdough. What's sourdough? The Torah talks about two things that are prohibited. If you're not familiar with it from the Torah, you can also be familiar with it perhaps from the Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Beitzah. It talks about chametz and se'or. Chametz are breads, pretzels, cookies, delicious pastries that are outside. That's chametz. Se'or is not yeast, although we usually use the word commonly for yeast. Yeast itself is the chametz. What's yeast? Yeast are organisms. They're no more chametz than you are, or I am. Yeast is just tiny microscopic bacteria. Se'or means, before yeast was sold commercially, after dry yeast or yeast in a bar, in order to make something chametz, which we discussed in Shir the other day, what you did was you would take a bread, make dough, 99% of the dough you would put in the oven and make challah, make bread, make pastries and sell it. 1% you'd leave on your windowsill. And we know, by definition, there are some yeast organisms in the air. So if you leave dough on the window for a week, what happens? Yeast call it home. More yeast will grow, and more yeast will grow, and more yeast will grow. Until next time you make bread, you have a highly intensive form of natural yeast. Because there are millions of yeast organisms on the dough that render the dough itself inedible. But at least you can take that sour dough and make something else chametz. That's se'or. Se'or itself is inedible, but it's very powerful in making other things chametzik.
San Francisco sourdough bread.
Is there such a thing? How does it taste?
I don't mean San Francisco, but it's a whole
fantastic.
Thing
so we should go to San Francisco, maybe for other reasons, maybe for that, and you can taste it. They do sell sourdough pretzels. Now, my hunch, I don't know this, my hunch is that things that are labeled sourdough now means we put in a little sourdough as well, but they probably put in yeast. That's just my hunch. I don't know. Either way, real sourdough replaced yeast. And that's se'or. Says the Magen Avraham Kohen in the Ran, think about it. Is sourdough edible to you and I? No. So by definition, we can't say that the bar for Pesach is that something which is not fit for human consumption is no longer chametz, because we know the Torah told us that sourdough itself is chametz. So we couldn't say things that are not edible for humans are not chametz, because sourdough itself is not edible for humans and still is considered chametz. So says the Magen Avraham Kohen in the Ran, clearly, when we talk about Pesach, it's not enough to say it's not fit for human consumption. Because one of the primary forms of chametz is not fit for human consumption. Therefore, it must be that the barometer that we use for chametz is very different. It's nifsa machilas kelev. Sourdough is not fit for my consumption, not fit for your consumption, but it's fit for a dog. If it's nifsa machilas kelev, if it's totally inedible to man or beast, then it's not considered chametz altogether. So what we've seen so far is that if you char chametz, not enough to make it inedible for people, but to make it inedible even for dogs, it's no longer a problem to keep it on Pesach. It's ostensibly not chametz.
Does that mean they won't be able to be something else once it's at that level?
So you will, in theory, se'ar also. Se'ar should not be able to do it. Once it's totally inedible, it's inactive. The Gemara in Source 1 is very curious. If I wanted to make an example of something which is no longer a problem on Pesach, I would have said, if you char bread on Pesach, before Pesach, you're allowed to
eat it.
That would be the quintessential example. Charred on Pesach, you're even allowed to eat it. That would be amazing. Bread, once it's burned, can be eaten. Yet the Gemara doesn't say that. What does the Gemara say? Charcho tatum's mano, you char it, mutter bahana. It's only permissible in benefit. It stops short of saying you could eat it. That's strange. Why would that be? Why do you think? Why would the Gemara not say you're allowed to eat the bread?
It's inedible.
Oh. So the simplest possibility is, of course, you could eat it in theory, but it's not food. Just like you can talk about eating this table, eating this chair, eating this styrofoam cup, you could talk about eating this bread, but it's no longer a food. So it's pointless. That's what the Ran says. The Ran, in Source 4, says, "Uda'aminon mutzer b'hanoso." The fact that we said it's permissible to benefit from, b'dinhu, logically, t'afiu b'achila namishari. You're even allowed to eat it. Kevan sheyotza mitaras pas. Since it now exited the status of bread, kodem sheyachal bo isr chametz, before the time of chametz came. But says the Ran, Eva, however, v'fi she'ein derech achila v'lechem charuch, it's not normal to eat charred bread, therefore, nakat lishno demutzer b'hanaso. The Gemara says simply, you're allowed to benefit from it. Like I said before, use it for a paperweight. Use it for an ornament. Use it to sit on. Tafilu achile, but even if you would eat it, lav achilehi. It's not achila, elad mishani mine, you're really benefiting. Says the Ran, in theory, if you want to eat it, you can. It's just silly. And it's not even considered eating. But says the Ran, not only are you allowed to benefit, read between the lines. The point is it's no longer chametz, you're even allowed to eat it. However, the Rush, roughly contemporary of the Ran, takes the Ran to task tremendously. Says the Rush, I know you, Ran. I know what you're saying. You think the Gemara says, Mutter b'hana, you're allowed to benefit, you're even allowed to eat it. It says the Rush, you're totally wrong. Rush, Source 5. Mutter b'hana, the fact that it's Mutter b'hana, says the Ran, says the Rush, second line, there's a period right in the middle, the second line, Yesh shirotzim lomar. Some want to say, this is the Ran's approach, without quoting the Ran, Lav dafka hana, doesn't only mean benefit. To a dinami achila. You're even allowed to eat it. To afra ba'amahu. It's no different than dirt. Says the Rush, no way. It's not true. V'lam astaber. It's ridiculous. To afal pi debat ladas ha'ochel etzutol adam. Even though your unique opinion of eating it is considered silly compared to everyone else. Everyone knows you don't eat this, says the Rush, mikol makom. Nevertheless, extremely important words. Kevan de'ihu ka'achalei, since he's eating it, aser, this is prohibited. Says the Rush, you're right. On average, This is not considered a food item. But if you take it off the table and put it in your mouth, you're showing that for you, it's considered food. So I don't think you're right, Ron, that once it's burned, it's no longer food. You're right, you can benefit. But once you make the decision to change benefit to actually masticating it and swallowing it, it's no longer a non-chametz item. You showed that for you, this is still a food. Says the Rush, you can't eat it. Yes?
So if someone eats tree bark on Yom Kippur, he's being over Yom Kippur.
Fantastic question. It's a great question. It would seem the Rush is saying, once something started as a food, and then the food status was removed, if I say no, that's for 99.99% of the population. For me, it's still considered food. That's a problem. But to eat a table would still be... Now, that's a good point. So it would only be to resume the status that it once had. And as we'll see in a minute, this is known by the one catchphrase which the Rush never says. It's known by the Achronim as well as one of the Rishonim we'll see, the term called Achshveh. Achshveh, Aramaic, Hu Hechshiv Ozo, he made it Chashuv. I make it chashuv. For me, it's considered a food. So we have so far a very important machokas. On the one hand, the Ran. On the other hand, the Rush. As far as what happens if I make an item which was once food completely inedible on Pesach, and then I decide to eat it. According to the Ran, it's not a food. It's no different than the tree bark that you brought up. As opposed to the approach of the Rush, no. For 99% of the population, it's not chametz. But for me, if I choose to eat it, achshvei, I make it important that itself is considered a problem of chametz on Pesach. Yes?
Something charred isn't necessarily inedible. I mean, it's probably not inedible. You can eat things which are charred. They don't taste good, but you can still eat it.
That's a good point. You definitely can physically do it, but the question is, if a dog was given it, once it's reached the point that a dog won't eat it, then that's considered already beyond the scope of food. But you're making a very good point that, in theory, it's a little bit scary, but I live in Pesach. That's not the scary part. What's scary is that often they have this also in Washington Heights. I remember one of the highlights in Erev Pesach is in the schoolyard outside the school. There is a beautiful communal Sreifas Chametz. It's very practical, especially in a community where most people have apartments. It's very hard to burn chametz. Even in Passaic, although Passaic is not the same as Washington Heights, I used to live in Washington Heights, in some things, at least Bezer Ankin, in a little way, they're similar. They also have communal chametz burning. So there's a problem. If you try to go burn your chametz close to the time that the chametz is supposed to be finished burning, many, many people have come before you. Sometimes you can just throw it in, and you don't know if it's really going to be burned, because there's so much stuff in the bin. You have to just be careful, make sure you're actually burning the chametz. So you're right, you can sometimes have bread which is charred on the outside, break it open, you have delicious fresh toast on the inside. So it's a very important thing to be concerned about. But in general, we presume if you take a piece of bread and you actually char it, enough that, yes, in theory you could, especially if you wanted more carbon in your diet, you could chew it, but in reality that's considered no longer a foodstuff. The Rambam as well seems to pass it in. He takes sides in this issue. Let's see the Rambam in source 6. Says the Rambam, Dover, shenis arev bo chametz, something which chametz is added to, ve'eno machal adam kal, and it's not a food. Says the Rambam, o she'eno machal kol adam, or it's not something which most people eat, go in the triak, ukiyotzibo. Certain example. Says the Rambam, afal pi shemutu v'taymo, even though you're allowed to keep it, what can you not do? Asur la'ochlo. You can't consume it. Sound like the Rambam Pasha is like who? Like the Rush or like the Ran? Like the Rush, that you can keep it. Once you eat it, achshvei, you're showing that to you, it is indeed important. The concept of achshvei, as well as an explanation of the Rush, was really added to by the Truma Sedeshin. Truma Sedeshin is one of the late Rishonim, and in Simon Truf Chav Tes, he has the following question. The Truma Sedeshin has, in his Shuvas, exactly 354 Tshuvas. I haven't memorized, of course. No, how do I know this 354? He named the sefer Tshuvas Hadeshen. Deshen is Dalud Shin Nun, 354. That's the number of Tshuvas. And as Rav Shakti points out, all the Tshuvas and Tshuvas Hadeshen were really essays. They were not shilos that were asked and then Tshuvas that were answered. They were concepts that he wanted to write about that were written in the term of Shilos and Tshuvas. We have certain akronim that do the same thing. Aben Luluim has Shilos and Tshuvas that were really just essays about topics. So one of the 354, the 129th essay the Tshuvas Hadeshen discusses is the following situation. What about ink? Dio. Dio shemavusho b'shechar se'orim. You have ink that's made partially with beer from barley. Is that allowed to be used on Pesach? It's interesting. We usually think of ink as something that we have in a pen. It's some sort of substance that we just buy in the store, we dispose of. But most real inks and dyes have some sort of organic component. In fact, if you're familiar with the concept of tcheles, there's really two prevalent views as what, if there is tcheles nowadays, what should tcheles be made of? The Rezina Rebbe introduced the tcheles from a certain squid, and then the more common tcheles now in Eretz Yisrael, the machon that makes it in Eretz Yisrael, Patil Tchelet, there they use the Murex trunculus shell. Certain shellfish that has a gland, they think is Tchelet. And they explain, based on Rav Herzog's research, that the Rezina Rebbe really found a dye called Prussian blue. Prussian blue is a blue dye which needs something organic to make it blue. Happens to be that Prussian blue was commercially made using ox blood. If you kill oxen, use the blood for Prussian blue. The Rezina Rebbe was using the squid, but to paraphrase their approach, he could have used gefilte fish. Meaning, they just need something organic in their Prussian blue dye. It's very common, most dyes have organic components, so the translation is talking about a situation where you have dye using barley to write a Sefer Torah or to write letters. Is that dye allowed to be used on Pesach? Says the translation, in the bold tshuva, yiroyli, yiroye, it seems, disharyo v'chtofo. Indeed, you're allowed to use it. The raya, the proof is, we had the Dersina and Peretol Shah, the Gemara that we just saw in source 1, for the Rava. Like Rava, Rava said, if you make it no longer a food, that's permissible on Pesach. Because of Ashiri, the next line, I just bolded the first two words, because he quotes the Rush. We don't need to read the Rush again, he quotes the whole Rush. And then he himself says, skipping two lines, next bold, Chu'ein Zekasav, HaRambam. Quotes the same Rambam. We're not going to see the Rambam again inside, but it says the translation, the Rush and the Rambam say, once something is charred, it's no longer fit for consumption. And therefore, it's considered usable on Pesach. And says the translation, therefore, Venira, towards the bottom of the first paragraph, it's a little bit bold, it's hard to see in the font a little bit, but you can see the bold, Venira, didio ha-mavusha b'samman and dil-el, this type of ink that is cooked with these general ingredients, Shehemarim, they're bitter, yosem erosh velana, more than the most bitter natural substances, vadal, nifsal, mishtias, kelev, kodim ha-pesach, is no longer fit for a dog to drink before Pesach, v'havei techarcho kodim ha-zmano, and it's like you charred it before the time, demutu bahana, it's permissible and benefit l'achar zmano, once Pesach comes. But says the translation, there's one concern. The concern is apparently a trick of the trade, if you're a sofer, using a quill, is that you sharpen the quill. What's the best way to sharpen a quill, says the Shemesh Hadeshen? Take the quill and put it in your mouth. Says the Shemesh Hadeshen, yes, the ink itself is not a foodstuff, and it's totally permissible to use on Pesach. But what about taking a twill that has ink on it and sharpening it in my mouth? We just saw both the Rush and the Rambam said, if I take the chametz and I eat it, that's a different ball game. That's considered eating chametz on Pesach. Achshveh, I made it chashuv. And before we see the translation inside, what do you think? Do you think by taking the twill and putting the quill in the mouth with some ink, that's a problem? No. Eating chametz and Pesach? No, why not? Na'achila. even though I'm physically putting it in my mouth, I'm not really interested in the ink. I'm interested in sharpening the tool. Says the Trus Desh, and that point's exactly near it. We're now in the second paragraph. Even though the Rush and the Rambam said that something which is charred is a problem to eat, the first way, time we see the word achshavei, since I make it chashuv, and I want to eat it, well, if so, with the day, it's not considered puzzle for me, me'achivas adam, from human consumption. And certainly not for dogs. That's the simple reading of the Rush. Last line of the recession, and for us, the most important line. Aval, however, b'mashen no saying how tolmus b'piv. The fact that I put the quill in my mouth, in order to hold it or to sharpen it, says the translation, v'adav zeh, and as a side point, toy min hadio, I taste some of the ink, below kavana, without intending to do so, v'machshivinon b'ha midi. That's not considered a problem at all. So there are two very important points for us in the translation. Number one, the translation elucidates the concept of the Rush. The Rush says, achshavei, I demonstrate by eating something that is important for me. But with the 1-2 punch, he says at the same time, if I'm eating it, but I'm not machshavit, I'm doing it for some other reason. I'm eating it, but to me, it doesn't demonstrate importance whatsoever. That's not a problem b'chval on Pesach. So the Rush says, number one, yes, achshavei. Number two, if I'm eating it for another ancillary reason, it's not a problem of achshavei at all. And this is extremely important because we passage, as we'll see in a second, like the Rush. So now the translation is telling us, yes, we have achshavei, but at the same time, if I'm doing it for another reason, it's not a problem at all. Let's see this halacha inside in Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov Mem Beis, Chametz Shenis Apesh, Chametz which was shriveled up, Konez Mani Suro, before the time of the prohibition, V'nifta Mechivas Hakelev, it's no longer fit for dog to eat, or you burn it before the time, and it's charred, so it's not fit for dog consumption, mutter to do what? Mutter lekaimo, to keep it, but not to eat it, says the Taz, Afinor, says the Taz right there, Sifkat and Ches, source 9, Abba Bachila Aser, to eat it is Aser, that's the Rush, because Akshavim. Says the Taz, just keep in mind that the concept, the last line on the first page of the source, Devadai Ein Chiyuv Deraisa Bazeh, says the Taz, a very important idea. I don't think the Rush means this Min HaTorah. It's hard to say that if it's no longer food, that by me eating it, I reinvigorate the status of Chametz. It probably means Midrabanon, it's not considered Chametz. It's considered Chametz. Midrabanon. So it's Midrabanon, but the concept says the Taz is that we pass like the Rush, you're only allowed to keep it, you're not allowed to eat it at all. Yes.
So, just like regarding chewing gum, right? So one's not supposed to swallow chewing gum, but if chewing gum tastes like, so no, one's not supposed to swallow ink. So, meaning can one have chametz chewing gum?
So I'm not familiar. I never looked into this research, this concept, but I think this is the major machlokas with high school kids in Trident. I think Trident is supposed to not be kosher, but there are those that try to eat Trident, and their psak is, lemaisa, why is Trident mutter? Because I'm only eating the ingredients, but the gum base, which is really not kosher, I'm not going to swallow. And around 10 years ago, it was a major issue in Kashrus, so the OU had to deal with, as far as certain gum bases not being kosher. So that's my knowledge. In theory, yes, it's a very important idea to consider with gum, but we'll see in a second what the concerns would be. It's possible that just by being towing, even if I'm going to eat it, to chew it without tasting it, without swallowing it, that itself might be a problem, but it's an issue which is discussed very much in the gum issue.
Well, it's the same issue
in the locus,
say, also.
Yes, also for gum. Then what are the Listerine, little Listerine packs, using the Listerine packs on a tinus, maybe even Yom Kippur. It's an issue of non-food items, which is beyond the scope of our discussion, but very important nonetheless. It's almost unanimously presumed in the postim that a great example of something which is a non-food item is a tablet. Tylenol, perhaps Advil, other tablets that a person would use, is no longer fit for human consumption and for dog consumption, yet we eat it. So that is the perhaps most important example of something which is not fit for consumption, yet we still eat regularly. Is that a problem on Pesach? On the one hand, we have Nifsal Mechilas Kelev. It's a tablet. No dog would eat a tablet as far as the tablet is concerned. Chewing it. I remember when I was younger and I was learning how to swallow tablets, and it's a hard thing to do because you're trained to always, if something is in your mouth, you're trained to either chew it or spit it out. So my first experience with swallowing a Tylenol was that I chewed it. It tasted disgusting. It tasted terrible. Which is why you're supposed to just swallow it. So we had the tension, as far as medicine, exactly centering on the two points that we just discussed. On the one hand, it's not fit for human consumption. On the other hand, I'm eating it. Achshvei. Is that a concern or not? Says the Shagas Aryeh, usually known for Lumdus, and sometimes for Halakha Lamaisa as well, Shagas Aryeh, in the classic Shagas Aryeh, source 10, Simon Ayin Hay, Mistabrali, it's logical to me, to Ochlinu Mashkin, that food and drink, She'enun Ru'uyin, that are not fit for consumption, Afilu Lirfua Osir, even for medicinal purposes, are problematic. The table in the Achlam, once you're eating it, Achshivin. I'm making a chashuv. I'm showing that I consider Tylenol food. And therefore it's a problem.
No, you're not. It's chashivs, but as food is
medicine. Oh, so the Shagdari seems to say, it seems that even if once I say this is something which is important to me, that I want to eat, that itself is a concern, I'm showing that, yes, it's for medicinal purposes, but it's something that I want to consume. So with your grimace, I think you're really saying, says Rav Moshe Feinstein in the next 11, source 11, hold on a second. Come on. I have three words for you. Cod, liver, oil. Who really enjoys cod liver oil? Yet people sometimes eat it for its medicinal purposes. There are many things, says the Rav Moshe. We know the purpose of medicine is that we hate it. Ask any kid until they recently now can flavor medicines. We hate it, yet we do it anyway.
What's the organic base for Tylenol? I mean, why is it like the tree bark? It was never fruit to begin with.
Oh, so it's possible, you're right. And with all fairness to McNeil, whatever, I don't even know if Tylenol has tummy necessarily. I'm using that as an example of a tablet, but in theory, a tablet which have chametz in it. Yes, 100%, that's an important point to clarify. I'm not taking any sides as far as what the actual ingredients are in the medicine. I'm just pointing out the idea of a tablet as a vehicle altogether. It says, Ramosha, source 11, in the bold, now this is an important tshuva. I have to say something a little bit inappropriate of me whenever I read this tshuva. The tshuva is written, you can see in the top, Tavshin Chaf. What year was Tavshin Chaf? 1960. And it was written to Rav Chaim Greenblatt, Shlita, perhaps one of the foremost Talmidim of Rav Moshe, who not only is a great Talmud Chachma in his own right, from Memphis, they moved to Eretz Yisrael recently, but roughly a third of Idris Moshe were responsa to Rav Chaim Greenblatt. So that first tov he has to Rav Chaim Greenblatt is not only for the Talmud Chachma that he was, but he prompted Rav Moshe to answer so many tshuvas. And we have Idris Moshe in all its glory because of Ephraim Greenblatt. He was perhaps the primary shoel in much of Idris Moshe. But the reason I feel bad when I read this tshuva is that I'm happy that unfortunately Ephraim Greenblatt needed to have surgery in 1960. Because he asked Rav Moshe the policy that he had on medicines because he had surgery. Now, I'm not happy that he had surgery, but had he not had surgery, perhaps we would have no tshuva from Rav Moshe about medicines on Pesach. So, I admit it's not right, and I'm Baruch Hashem, Rav Chaim has had a long life since then, but I'm a little happy that he actually had the surgery. It seems like it was serious surgery, because that gave us this very important tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Says Rav Moshe, first of all, anything which is a matter of sakana, of course you can have on Pesach, no questions asked. But says Rav Moshe in the bold, we're now in the second mini paragraph here in paragraph 11, towards the end of the second line. Uve'etzem, in reality, af below satana, even with no concern of satana, ain chashash, there's no concern. Ditvar niftal kodem haPesach misham ochel. A tablet is not a foodstuff already before Pesach. V'ach shvei lo shayich. Something which I'm making chashuv doesn't apply, like you said, b'davar shel telech l'refuah. I'm taking it for medicinal purposes. Daf dvarim marim u'musim notlin l'refuah. Even things that are bitter and disgusting, you take for medicinal purposes. Says Rav Moshe, that's not ach shvei. That's, I hate it, but I'm doing it anyway. But we do have machlokas. On the one hand, the Shabbos Arya says, no, even if I would consider it a non-food, if I am putting it in my mouth and swallowing it, that's considered a problem. So Rav Moshe, no, I'm putting it in my mouth because I am forcing myself to eat it. Not that I enjoy it, not that I consider it food, therefore it's no problem. We do have really a basic idea of Rav Moshe Feinstein already in the Shulchan Aruch. He said, the translation is a much more simple example of a case where I put something in my mouth, yet I'm not interested in eating it per se, it's just in my mouth, the taste of the ink. So we do have somewhat of a halachic basis for the Pesach of Rav Moshe Feinstein.
That's different.
Yeah.
Different case, that's just ink, you're not really eating it. Here's, you want to go in your
correct, stomach. You're not interested, it's really low kavana. Here you want it. You're correct. It's not the concept is there, but it's not exactly a proof. So
the Shagas Ayah, Svara seems to be that it's Derech Achila.
Yes.
But if it's Derech Achila, then even the ink would be awesome. Because it's Derech Achila. They put it in your mouth.
You're absolutely right. Correct. Once you're doing it, and in fact, it's not like the translation with the Dio, that's low kavana. Here the kavana is, like you're saying very beautifully, to eat it. So he says it would be a problem. Yes.
Most of the medication is really the Ziller medication. For instance, cord is used in asthma.
Fantastic point.
Kidneys and it's tough.
Fantastic. You're absolutely right. So kidneys would be much less of a concern. Let's presume, for example, we lived 100 years ago where the binder used in tablets was flour. Now it's too expensive to use flour, but let's say they use flour as a binder. So even within the Shalgas Arya, without quoting the Shalgas Arya, says the Chazon Ish. Hold on a second. What am I machshiv when I eat medicine? I'm machshiv the medicine. The binder, the filler, is there because that's what the manufacturer said I need to do in order to get the medicine in my system. So Chazon Ish suggests that even according to the Shalgas Arya, maybe medicines would not be a problem because achshivei is not on the actual medicine. Achshivei is on whatever else I need to put in my mouth because that's the way they manufactured it. Exactly your point. So it's possible we have a third Shalom Al Yisrael Pshara. Even if we would say the Shalgas Arya is a concern, that's only if I'm achshivei on the cod liver oil, achshivei on eating bread, because it somehow gives me some sort of nutrients that I need. But if it's achshivei on the medicine and the filler just comes as a byproduct, that might not even be a concern, even according to the Shalgas Arya.
Because otherwise you couldn't take the medicine.
Okay, right. So it's not clear. You're right. Chazon Ish doesn't quote the Shalgas Arya, but it's a very possible story that Chazon Ish advances as well. Either way, because of these two approaches, the Shalgas Arya on the one hand and Rav Moshe on the other hand, we have had a resurgence recently of specific, used to be Svarim, and then lists which talk about the halakos of medicines on Pesach. It's interesting, when Rabbi Blumentranz Zatzal put out the laws of Pesach, a digest, years ago, in the 80s, it used to be a small book and started getting bitter and bitter, did tremendous amounts of research, it seems that he put it out as a sefer for those that want to be machmir, like the Shalgas Arya, and are concerned that by eating a pill, you're machshavit, here's a book, I researched for you what medicines have chametz, which ones don't. And instead of being le'elu harotzim lahachmir, those that want to be machmir, it became elu hadinim, this is the way Pesach is observed. So, and that's not a fault of his, he responds to the need. But it's important to realize, in general, he was doing a service for those that want to be machmir, it seems, but between the Shalgas Arya and Rav Moshe Feinstein, in general, on average, most of American Orthodox Jewry would pass in light Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was posek hador of American Jewry. So between Rav Moshe and the Shalgas Arya, most people would be comfortable relying on Rav Moshe. And that's not a fault of Rav Blumentranz, but it's interesting to notice the phenomenon that took place was that he was putting it out for those that want to be machmir, and then it became de facto the way that people should observe, which might be correct, might be incorrect, but it's important to realize, as Sai Sim has said, an educated consumer is our best customer. You at least have to know what you're dealing with. Hacha b'mai askina.
He's even talking about makeup.
Oh, so that's another issue. We'll talk about that. The last issue we'll talk about is non-foods that you don't even eat, such as cosmetics, shampoos, conditioners, deodorants, perfumes. So the OU, one approach, we're not going to talk about every conscious organization's approach, but the OU has several places on their website. So the question of Rabbi Polsky, who's run the kashrus line for a while on the OU, asks on the internet, and this is just a restatement of OU policy, meditations that are non-chewable and do not contain flavored coatings do not even have to be kosher for Passover, as they are inedible and are not consumed in a normal manner. Whose approach is that? Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's Rav Moshe.
Actually, might also be the Shai Gassarieh.
If you have the Chazanish's approach, perhaps.
No, but I'm in the binder. Because if you're swallowing it, it's normally not a normal achila for these things. So the Shai Gassarieh.
It's a good question. It's unclear how we consider Bliya in general.
He might be talking about medicinal food, because the Shai Gassarieh said food and drink.
Correct. Correct. It's possible. It's hard. He doesn't really expand. It is possible that he's talking about something which is at least has some semblance. You are correct. So the Repulsory points out, and again, he's just restating the OU policy. It's the easiest way to access OU policy in brief, is that there's a big machlokas, even if we apply the approach of Rav Moshe Feinstein, that actually does not apply to medicines. What about vitamins? Vitamins are supplements. Most people don't need to eat vitamins necessarily because they have a specific ailment, necessarily, but because it enhances their health or preserves them the way they are. Is that a medicine? Or is that what we might call microbiome? That's something which people normally, you don't need a prescription for it altogether. It's, you can buy it in any health food store, and of course the FDA does not take any responsibility for any vitamins, as they say on every bottle of vitamins. So, this is a machlokes. There are those that say that vitamins are the exact same thing. Why am I having a vitamin? Do I care about what the vitamin D tastes like? No. I need vitamin D. Tylenol for a headache, vitamin D for more energy. So, some say vitamins are the exact same thing. Others say vitamins is a concern because it's not absolutely necessary. It's going to be considered achshavei. Yes?
If Chachmas HaGemara follows the physician, let me say that my intent of saying this is that everybody in here should live in the best of health to 120.
Amen.
And the families.
Please make sure, let's just make sure to keep it brief so we can finish up the concept.
If Chachmas HaGemara follows the physician, and the let's see, of Zevin says we can't be Balabatim on the body. And if state of the art is art status quo medicine were available to Moshe Feinstein, his doctor was Dr. Bernard Cavicone, who was the most meticulous physician I ever encountered.
Really? Is he still practicing?
No, I'm not a physician. I was.
Is he still practicing?
No, he's PS, but he was a magnificent practitioner. And I want to say, my challenge is, what would Moshe Feinstein say today? Is there anything of this that he would find valid today? For example, milk is an important health need, as you have in there. However, the state-of-the-art status quo physician who studies the brain chemistry, the Nobel Prize caliber, would not say that. He would say, for example, that if you have type O blood, that milk can be quite deleterious to the body, and the calcium should be gotten.
It's a very good point. In fact, I think you're bringing up, of all things to bring up, milk, it happens to segue precisely to the next point, which is, we know milk is extremely important for a person's, for kids as well as for an adult's nutrition, yet there are those that are not able to have milk because they're lactose intolerant. And within the past 15 years, there's a simple solution. How can a person who's lactose intolerant have milk? Lactate milk, lactate tablets, lactate chewable tablets, lactate supplements. What's lactate, it seems, comes from a chametzlicha source, which is why most kosher organizations frown upon having lactate which is chewable on Pesach, because chewable, something which is chewable like Tums or lactate, is really considered a food. We might make a bracha, but it's really a food that would be concerned of chametz. What about if I could swallow lactate? Is lactate a vitamin, a supplement which I need, so it's not a food? Or no? Lamaisa, like you said, milk is very important, but I'm helping, just like milk is a food, lactate's helping me have the milk. It's a concern. As the OU points out on their own website, can I buy lactate for Passover? The third paragraph in this OU bit blurb from the OU website, source 13, lactate non-chewable tablets are more complicated. Many rabbinical authorities permit non-chewable vitamins and supplements without regard to the kosher status because there's no achshavei on the vitamin either. A according to such opinions, some of which are the foremost postmen in our yeshiva as well, presume that vitamins have equally no concern as medicines. One may take these tablets just like any other non-chewable pill, which would mean halacha l'maaseh, a person may take lactate l'chatchila if it's non-chewable on Pesach because it's not considered achila. Other biblical authorities, there were those that quote that Rav Moshe Feinstein himself seemed to say that vitamins are not as reliable. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the one who's makel on medicines, is still machmir on vitamins. This is mipi hashmua. This is not recorded anywhere to the best of my knowledge. Rav Moshe was machmir. Yet there are very prestigious postmen that indeed are makel, again, including some in our yeshiva that are makel on vitamins. They say the same story of Rav Moshe. We can out Rav Moshe Rav Moshe. The idea of ashrei doesn't apply on anything you're taking for a non-food purpose, including vitamins, mutter lechatchila, take lactate, non-chewable pills on Pesach as well. So machlokas, both approaches. Halacha l'maisa.
I recall hearing that Rav Moshe differentiated between why a person is taking a vitamin.
Yeah, what's
they
that?
Having, they have an actual deficiency, which means it would be a medicine. And for example, somebody who's lacking intrinsic factor and does not have vitamin B12, right? So they develop pernicious anemia. So now you do not have to have a shot. You can actually take certain oral doses. So that would be like refuah.
Right.
As opposed to people who are normally healthy and
take a multivitamin.
And they take a multivitamin every day.
Right.
And apparently Moshe was machalic between the two.
Interesting. Okay, that was fair as well. Yes. Let's move on from medicines for a minute and talk about aerosols such as deodorants, hairsprays, perfumes. One of the major components of most commercially sold cosmetics is alcohol. Now, in point of fact, in America, most things are artificial, and most grains that are used are corn. So even if something is a grain alcohol, it usually means it comes from corn. But barring any knowledge of corn as opposed to wheat, let's presume we had alcohol made from wheat. Rav Moshe Feinstein has an unbelievable chumrah here, in the last source, in front of you, source 14. It says Rav Moshe in a very cryptic statement, the alcohol atzmo, alcohol itself, presuming it comes from one of the five species of grain, would be a problem of chametz on Pesach. Kishu be'en lo nechshav nisam yachila. Most alcohol that is itself, that's used in industry, has to undergo a process of denaturing. We know that alcohol itself, in its most pristine sense, can be used on a kiddush table, together with herring, can be used for l'chaims. So clearly that's roi l'achila. Yet if I want to use alcohol in industry, and I take scotch or something like that, I'm going to cause myself unnecessary expense. Scotch is $40, $80, $120 a bottle for a good single malt. That's clearly not worthwhile for industry. The government, in order to make sure that I don't use scotch for industry or import scotch and the same using it, for industry and then not have to pay taxes, requires me to denature any alcohol I'm using for industry. Denature means usually to add the rapodim, something which makes it not only taste terrible but often poisonous, usually wood alcohol, to the alcohol to guarantee I'm not using it to drink, only using it for industry. Says Rav Moshe, if I have isopropyl alcohol or alcohol that's being used for industry, so therefore it's denatured. Says Rav Moshe, you're right, it might taste terrible. Says Rav Moshe, lo nechshav nifsa me'achila. It's still not considered unfit for human consumption. Why? Sheyesh min achrim. There are some people. Sheshosin osan ayde taroves petichun tzas. If you really need to, you can.
Winos.
You can make it look a little bit, taste a little bit better. Add some sugar, make it a little bit more geschmack. Taste your take your denatured perfume, and add some spice and drink it. So number one, it's toxic. That's a good point. So it happens to be in general, if you take too much toxic alcohol, the best way to flush it out with your system is to take a lot of alcohol, which is not toxic. Meaning if a person, they had a situation where people were cleaning ships, they got drunk on denatured alcohol, which binds their brain in a very caustic and poisonous fashion. So if they drink a lot of regular alcohol, that'll make them drunk, but at least it'll drive it out. But without that, you're right, it's a concern of one's taking one's life into one's own hands. But more than that, who's going to take perfume and drink it? What would you say? Who's going to drink hairspray?
Winos.
Okay, meaning an alcoholic. So in general, we don't presume we use normative halakha based upon people that have a concern, which needs to be treated by a doctor or a therapist. Meaning, the average person doesn't drink perfume. it's hard to see what Rav Moshe is saying when that we would use an alcoholic to make something normatively consumed. Hard to understand. Rav Moshe nevertheless says, since there are those that would take alcohol, even if it's denatured and actually drink it, that's considered not nefsa me'achila. Now, despite the fact that Rav Moshe is a little bit cryptic, one can rationalize Rav Moshe based on earlier ideas in Achronim.
Near the Bowery.
They say, yeah, they say Rav Moshe was referring to the bum in the Bowery. But even so, it's hard to imagine the bum, even though Rav Moshe did live on the Lower East Side, not so far from the Bowery, it's hard to say it's considered normative.
Batol Daito.
Rav Arisol said Batol Daito. But Lamaisa Rav Moshe said it.
Would he also say that it's Asher Bahana?
It's a good question. So, good point also. Lamaisa, he would stop short of saying Asher Bahana, only Ba'achila. And although Rav Moshe is a little bit hard to understand, Rav Shimon Eider, in his beautiful work, Halachas of Pesach, which is in some ways a primary source, not just a way of summarizing the halachos that come from earlier sources, he writes, with quote Rav Moshe, we would have the following approach. For tablets that are not chewable, that you swallow, no problem altogether, like you mentioned. But for liquids, since Rav Moshe said it, we try to be machmir, even if it's denatured. If it's really in liquid form, we're machmir like Rav Moshe, we try not to use it on Pesach, maybe even not to keep it altogether and sell it with the chametz. For example, if you have something which is liquid, such as perfume or hairspray or deodorant, in a liquid form, then it's advisable, says Rav Shimon Eider, with quote Rav Moshe, to sell it with the chametz, unless you can find it on a list, which says there's no concern. And chances are you can find it on a list because most alcohol then used is grain alcohol.
It's not grain alcohol.
I'm sorry, well, it's grain, but grain from corn. Or synthetic. Exactly. However, that's again, it's a chumrah since Rav Moshe came in the Nafak Mipume. Once Rav Moshe said it, we try to be machmir for that. So we presume that tablets that you're not going to swallow, no concern altogether, ikru d'dina. Liquids themselves we're concerned about, but anything which is not a liquid, such as a stick deodorant or a soap or a shampoo, even if they contain alcohol, even bums in Barry would not take shampoo and drink it for fun. And therefore, we can be makel on those cosmetics all to death. One last point that Rav Shimon Eider makes is that one has to ask oneself, there's a concern, they point out, with Advil specifically, which is not a chametz concern per se, but it's an example. Medicines that are coated are often coated with sucrose, with glucose. Glucose, by definition, is a sugar. There are many types of sugars. There's fructose, which comes from fruits. There's also sugar that can come from grain. So if one is a coated tablet, it might be advisable to look up on a list just to see, is the sugar which is used as a coating a concern on Pesach or not? Usually it's, like you pointed out, probably going to be chitnius, which would be less of a concern, but it's just important to be aware of that. Let's summarize the Torah we had the chus to learn together this morning. We began with the issue of Rava. Rava says, Charchul Kadmiz Mano, if you char chametz, it's not a concern. Says Tosus, explained by the Magen Avraham, what does it mean, char? Nifsam echilas kelev, not even fit for a dog to eat. Why a dog? Even though in the rest of kashrus I'm concerned only about not fit for man's consumption, says the Magen Avraham, quoting the Ran, no, one of the most important aspects of chametz is sa'ar. Sa'ar is not fit for man to eat. Therefore, clearly you need a different parameter. It's not enough to say it's nifsam echilas adam, it must be nifsam echilas kelev. Good. So the Gemara says, if you char it, it's mutter to keep. What about mutter to eat? The Ran says, of course you can eat it. It's just silly, so we didn't bother talking about eating it. It's not a food. Says the Rush, no, you can keep it. Once you eat it, achshavei. For you, you're demonstrating that it is indeed important. Says the Rambam, as the Rush, but says the Shemesh Adeshin, yes, achshavei, but only if you're actually eating it for the purpose of eating it. If you're sucking on the quill in order to sharpen it, or just because absentmindedly that's what you do when you're a sofer, that's on Akshavay. I'm not intrinsically valuing the ink. It's not a concern whatsoever. This is important because in Halakha, we pass from like the Rush. The Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to keep chametz, which is not a food on Pesach, but doesn't say you can eat it. It says the Taz, you can eat it. We hold it like the Rush. And the Taz explains because Akshavay midraban, and we presume you're Makshavit. That leaves us with a bid machokas as far as medicines. On the one hand, tablets I'm eating. On the other hand, it's not really for the intrinsic value of the chametz. So the Shah Zari says, no, once it's for refuah, even if it's for refuah, if you're eating it, that is a concern. The Chazon Ish says maybe even according to the Shad Azariah, without quoting the Shad Azariah, it's only a concern if you're going to be eating it qua the actual medicinal ingredients. But if you're eating it for the medicine and you have some fillers, that would not be a concern. Nevertheless, the Shad Azariah does say that medicines themselves are a concern of Achshavei, and therefore many are machmir, even for inedible pills on Pesach as well. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, no, what do you mean? Achshavei? You're eating it for an ulterior motive. You're eating it because you want the medicine, not because you think it's important, and therefore, no concern whatsoever. How do we pass from the OU, strictly speaking, is made like Rav Moshe Feinstein? They presume that if you're going to have something which is not chewable, it's not a concern whatsoever. It's a tablet, we don't care about it altogether. There are kashrut organizations that are machmir, and we saw a very good reason to be machmir. The Shad Azariah himself is machmir, and Rav Blumentrantz was trying originally probably to raise awareness for those that want to be machmir, nevertheless became de facto the way that many people observe Pesach without realizing it's a machlokes. What about vitamins? Vitamins that are non-chewable, according to many post in our yeshiva, are the same as medicine, because I'm taking it not because I value the vitamin, but because that's something that I need to get into my system. There's no achshavei. Others say no. Medicine I need. Vitamins often I don't need. It's because I want to enhance my life. Therefore, it's not a concern. It's still a concern. Achshavei would be a concern. Nafkamina very much halacha l'maisa for lactate. And you take a lactate pill, which you're going to swallow on Pesach or not, there's definitely strong room to be makel, although there are those that are machmir. Rav Moshe has a very cryptic line, which again can be buttressed by Achronim, but Rav Moshe says that alcohol, which is denatured, which is not fit for consumption, still you could add a little bit of spice and sugar and still drink it. We were befuddled, because if we're basing that on the bum in the Bowery, batel daita, as Rabbi Arisol pointed out, batel daita would be a very serious concern. That's not the normative approach. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe says it, therefore Rav Shimon Eider says that we have the following situation. For pills that you're not going to chew, mutar l'gamri, like Rav Moshe says, for things that are in a pure liquid form, and keep in mind that aerosol really means it's liquid inside the bottle, we are machmir like Rav Moshe, you should either sell it or check it on a reliable list. And for liquids, which are not pure liquids, such as shampoos, soaps, and certainly roll-ons, certainly stiff deodorants and the like, even if there's an alcohol, there's no concern altogether, because they're not fit for human consumption. We should be zoche to keep Pesach to the best of our ability, and be zoche not only next year, but this year, l'shana hazos, Yerushalayim, habenuya.